My Mech Podcast number 973. Let's let it loose.
And welcome everyone to the MyMech.com podcast. This show is, it's going to be different. Different is the word. Different is the word that I can use for this show. But however, mark your calendars for May 7th, which is the next big Apple event. Nothing concrete on what they'll be releasing, but having an Apple pencil in the announcement graphic just might be a clue. Yeah. Gaz is not here this week. He's off on walkabouts. But I do have Dave Ginsberg from In Touch with iOS. Hello, Dave. How are you, sir? Well,
hello, guy. How you doing? It's so great to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Well, I'm glad because this was all kind of last minute. And
it was.
Part of the reason why it's last minute is that I'm kind of screwing around again.
Surprise.
Yeah. With a new streaming platform called EVMUX. And we're not going to go into it deeply. But let's see if I can... Oh, it's disappeared. It has. I was going to show you fine and good people, kind of what that looks like. But I can't find it now, and we've already started the show, so I'm not going back into it, Dave.
Good move.
I'm not going to do it. And what should come as absolutely no surprise to anyone is that I was kind of a booze runner last Sunday, but a little one, maybe.
Yeah.
Wow, my camera's really dark. Why is my camera so dark?
I don't know. You keep going in dark and light. There you go.
Yeah, that's weird. My son Peter's wedding is coming up, and they already had a lot of alcohol for the wedding, and they kind of pre-purchased it. That is so annoying that it is doing that. It is very, very distracting. I have no idea why my camera is doing that. And I got my good camera here. And part of the reason why I had to go down and get all that booze is that our house here is a convenient place to stage stuff, to take to the wedding location. So everybody is bringing it up here. So over in our family room, I have boxes and boxes of booze and fake flowers and all kinds of other things. But I basically went to their house, filled up my Kia Soul with more booze than I've probably drank across my entire life, and got to hear it clinking and clanking. As I headed up
those bottles,
clink, 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 yeah, clink. Yeah, boop, 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 boop. And here's another weird thing that happened. I got down there because he lives way to the south of me, so I had to get gas on my way up. So I stopped at a particular warehouse store that also has gas stations, and I was in line to fill up, and I looked a couple of cars ahead of me, and there was a Tesla there.
Okay.
And I was like, wait a second. To the best of my knowledge, Teslas don't use gas.
No gas. Why are you sitting in front of a pump? It's wasting space.
No idea. But then he finally got up to the pump and he got out, and I was paying very close attention because it was like, well, this is
curiosity.
Just weird. And he opens up the back and he pulls out a couple of those, you know, like 5-10 gallon containers.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. So it finally made sense. But at the same time, I was like, okay, you know, you're going to sit in your Tesla. And what really kind of hacked me off is the whole time I was driving to the warehouse store, I was seeing all these other gas stations with no lines. And I was looking at the prices. I got to the warehouse store, and they don't tell you what the price of the gas is until you actually get up to the pump. It was 8 cents cheaper than all of the other stations. Ooh,
that saves big money.
I sat there in line for like 15, 20 minutes with the car running to save 80 cents, 80 to 90 cents on my entire purchase of gas. And I said, no, that's just not right. Yeah. But that's kind of what's been going on with me. What's been going on with you, Dave?
Oh, it's just been busy at work, keeping crazy, keep doing things on the podcast, talking all kinds of Apple stuff. It's been exciting. nothing too overly exciting. Last night I had a nice dinner. We had some sushi. I haven't had that in a while, so we enjoyed that. And but yeah, no, that's been just crazy times at work because, you know, everybody's back in the office. So,
yeah, I keep getting distracted by my camera, like, and it's not Evie Mux that's doing it. It's the camera itself. And it's making me crazy. It's an A50. It's a Sony A5100, and it has never done this before.
I've got my trusty Insta360 link here. That's working great.
And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I tried this. Let me pull it out here. I bought a Hero 12.
Of course you did.
Of course I did. And now I'll probably never use it again.
Well, I might go with it.
I don't know, but I bought that because I wanted, you know, I wasn't able to go to the Eclipse because both Tracy and I came down with COVID, which just, it's like, really? But in a way that worked out because we were going to go up to Rochester and apparently that entire area had like complete cloud cover. So it would have been like, okay, great. I just spent $4,000 to come and look at the clouds be light, the clouds be dark, clouds be light. So I guess it was a good thing, though I still, you know, it would have been nice to have been there as well. But that's, sometimes that's just what happens, you know?
I mean, it does.
And in case you're wondering, Dave, and I know you are.
I am wondering.
You are wondering. I am on the Lewitt 440 Pure microphone going into a Behringer UV1 interface. Because that's how I roll. Different interfaces.
My trusty Rode pod mic has always been very good. To me.
You have used for now, what, 3 years? 4 years?
Four or five years, I've had it.
4 or 5 years.
I change off on others because you always influence me just a smidge to look at another mic, but then I go right back to this one.
The one, I don't have it here handy with me. The one that I'm really kind of in love with that I had been using for a long time before I went to this again was the Rode NT1 fourth gen.
Yep.
And that is such a great microphone. But part of the reason why I'm on this one again that I wanted to try this out again is that Lewitt just came out with this. I don't know if I talked to you about this. Lewitt just came out with a new microphone called the Ray.
Okay.
And what this has, it has a couple of proximity sensors in it. And it's basically, it's the 440, but with these proximity sensors. And wherever you go, as it senses that you're either far away or not as close, it automatically adjusts the gain of the microphone.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome.
It's like my Insta360 here. I can move around and it follows me too. But I keep that turned off during a podcast because it drives me crazy.
I didn't get it. I didn't buy it, Dave. And I know it was hard.
It was so hard. So hard to resist.
I wanted it so bad. But the thing was, I already have a Lewitt 440, which is what this microphone is. And typically while I'm doing this podcast, I'm not like moving around all over the place. I'm just sitting here right in front of the microphone. So it was like, was it worth $350 just to satisfy my curiosity over whether it made any real difference in my recording or not? But the worst part of it is I'm also super tempted by the Rode NT1 SS, which is the special something. It's basically, it's the NT1 fifth gen. The one I have is the fourth gen, but it doesn't have the USB connection, and it's like a little more than $100 less. And it comes in colors. I could have a nice light blue NT1 microphone that I see they even came out with a
new one from Rode called the Interview Pro, pristine wireless audio in your handset. Or in your hands, I should say.
You're killing me, man. You are killing me.
It's right on their homepage, Rode.com.
But we're going to move off talking about microphones.
Yeah, it might be a good idea.
Everyone is going, thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
Over to Gaz's Snippets. Ba-ba-ba. Dave, iPad OS 18 could ship with a built-in calculator app after 14 calculatorous less years. It's a game changer.
It's been an insane game changer. And I know. I've talked about this. I talked about this in my last episode of In Touch with iOS, but the panel was like, did I ever miss a calculator? No. I've been using pCalc has been the most common one to have on your iPad. And everybody loves that. That's a great app. But does anybody really miss having your calculator? I mean, other than the fact that it's annoying, the fact that I have to, if I'm doing something on my iPad, and I go, oh, I got to pull up my iPhone and have to calculate something with the calculator. I'm used to it, but is it going to be a game changer? Doubtful. I mean, you go back to 2020 when Craig Federighi was asked this, are they ever going to release a calculator on the 2020? He said, it's not been on the priority list. It'll probably happen eventually. So it's 4 years later, here we are. Potentially that's
well, you know, happen. Those calculators, they can be tough to code.
They are.
You know, never mind the fact that there's been one in the Mac and there's been one on the phones. There's probably one on the watch, if I think about it.
There is.
So there is. Okay. Well, of course there is. But, you know, not on the iPad. Yeah. There is an MFA attack, which puts hundreds of fake reset password notifications on your phone and watch. And it might take only one slip up to be compromised. Now, have you heard about this, Dave?
Yeah. I mean, it was crazy. We talked about this, too, a couple weeks ago, that this came out. And absolutely crazy bug and how anybody could actually jump in. And all of a sudden, you're getting all these MFA pops. Oh, my. It just keeps coming up, and people are freaking out about it. And I didn't hear anything in the wild that it was actually going to be something that that you actually could be of some concern, other than you start tapping it and it isn't going to do anything because it's pointing to something that isn't even you. It's kind of scary that happened, but Apple, I think, was on it pretty quickly. And, I think they've got that whole plugged my recollection.
God, I hope so. Because that's not really set toward people like you or people like, Dave Gurman or Mark Gurman. Me or, you know, Dave Hamilton or anything like that, set for the average Joe in the street who's like, oh, what do I do? What,
I want to freak out. Oh, my God.
You know, and they accept and then they're screwed.
Yeah.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guy.
Want a MacBook Air? How about one from Walmart for $699?
Walmart? Are you kidding me? Walmart?
No, Walmart. It's a M1 chip with 8 gigs of RAM and 256 gigs of storage with absolutely no way to update it, but it is a MacBook Air for $699.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. I commend Walmart for jumping in and getting that out there and being able to sell more Apple products. I guarantee it's flying off the shelves at Walmart because you got people who want to get into the Mac, see how reasonably priced it is. $699 is a very reasonable price for a Mac, honestly. Especially a MacBook Air.
It's a great screen. It's the M1 is still, I mean, I'm still running an M1 Mac Mini. Yeah. So
am I.
Yeah. Speaking of the Mac Mini and Mark Gurman, he says that the next Mac Mini will be on an M4, skipping the M3 entirely. I don't know. I'm not, you know, I mean, like I said, I'm still on the M1. I didn't go to the M2 because I just didn't need to. The M1, I have an M1 MacBook Pro. I have an M1 Mac Mini. I have an M1 iPad Pro. And they're all just, you know, the M1 was a great chip. And yes, is the M2 faster? Sure it is. Is the M3 even faster? Yeah. Am I maxing out what the M1 can do? No. So why, you know, that was the big reason why I didn't go to the M2. And of course, there's still no M3 Mac Mini because according to Mark Gurman, they're going to skip it anyway. I may wait until, you know, even if this isn't right and they come out with a Mac Mini M3 or a Mac Mini or a Mac Studio M3, that's the one I really want. Of course, like I need it.
No, but yeah, you do.
There's nothing wrong with the M1. You know, don't sleep on the M1.
I agree. The MacBook Pro 16-inch M1 Pro I have right now, it's perfectly fine laptop. I've also got a MacBook. I do have a MacBook Air. I just got it. It was an M3 processor, which I just upgraded, and it is awesome. I mean, I definitely see a huge difference. I was sporting a work computer with an M1 and an M2, and you definitely see some pretty compelling differences as far as performance. If you're on an M1 going to an M3, I would probably, you might want to think about it. I don't think it's still, like we said, M1 is still perfectly great fine machine, and you can find them so much cheaper now because they stopped making them on many of the model lines, Mac Mini specifically, as well as many of the others. But the M4 is, it's interesting to see why Apple is, if that's the case, that they're going to wait a whole nother year. Because I mean, is the M4 going to come out that quickly? Is it going to come out in the fall? Are we going to wait till 2025 before a new Mac Mini comes out? And it seems like their track record with the Mac Mini has been such that they've waited for a long time to do upgrades, which I think is crazy why they do that. I mean, it's, again, I know their focus always has been on the laptops and everybody. I mean, you sell a lot more laptops than you do desktops, that's for sure. Yeah. But the Mac Mini has got a bit of a niche to where people are using it. You use it in your production for podcasts and other things. People are sometimes they're using it for server farms. They're creating the putting those in racks and for networks and such like that. But those are perfect because they're just so good sizes. But you can beef them up, and they have server based versions more or less with the highest end processor you want if you wanted to, because just like the Mac Studio or even that they have as well. I mean, that's even a higher end.
The Pro.
The Pro, right? It's interesting to see why they'd be waiting. I mean, but the M4 obviously must be closer than we think. If Mark Gurman, and he's a good reliable source on Bloomberg, of all the ones that I've used and looking at things with the rumors that we always have to question. he's pretty solid. Bingji Kuo is. He's. And made the mistake of talking about him last week, this last show. So I gotta know better not to use those articles when it comes from him. But I think
there's no accountability for any of these guys.
Of course not. Well, we go to Mac Rumors. It is a rumors site, so we have to know that.
All right, the last story that I have is FCC to restore net neutrality without defining what that actually means. Fortunately, we have proponents of restoring and not restoring to give us their biased opinions on the pluses and minuses of both, with a slant toward what they prefer, to no one's surprise ever. I have no idea anymore. I remember that when they were first talking about this 2016, 2017,
right.
Everyone was screaming, the sky is falling and prices are going to go through the roof and all these bad things were going to happen. And then they didn't. And now they're talking about restoring it. And the people that were the proponents of taking it away are all like, oh, prices are going to jump and all these bad things are going to happen. It's like, I don't know what to say anymore, because when it comes to politics, all you hear are the extremes on both sides and very little nuanced reporting of what could or might not. Or, instead of just telling us that, cats and dogs living together, Armageddon, just let us know, what might happen and what might not happen. What are the benefits? What are the detractions? And just leave the politics out of it. And nobody seems to be able to do that anymore.
No. I mean, the problem is, a lot of these big companies want their websites to have the preferential treatment on their internet. But you got to look at a company like Comcast. Comcast is losing subscribers in boatloads. It's crazy. I mean, just this morning I was just reading an article about the fact they've lost over 623,000 customers from their TV service, but they had 65,000 people are even now starting to go away from their internet service too. So I'm a proud make it cheaper and make it efficient, because I'm a proud AT&T customer. I never would say, thought I'd ever say that about that because AT&T, I got away from them for years since the iPhone hat was exclusive to AT&T. I've never ever want to be on their network again for my mobile services. But their AT&T fiber service is just, it just boggles my mind how amazing it is. And it's not that expensive. Yeah. I mean, and I got 1 gig speed up and down. It's asymmetric. So, okay. So now you've got so much more competition between all these other internet service providers providing, whether it be fiber or even cable or you know, even 5G. That's a hot thing right now with internet, with T-Mobile and Verizon really pushing hard, and AT&T for that matter. They're all three of them are trying to push. AT&T's kind of late to the game, honestly. T-Mobile has been really aggressive. I've been a T-Mobile customer on my phone for
me too.
four or five years. And I'm very happy with them for the most part. You know, they have their moments, but their 5G service is great. I'm just not in a really good position to where the cell towers are here where I live.
To switch over to it.
I tried it. I had the actual box. I did a trial, and I wasn't happy with the speed because you're only going to get anywhere between maybe 200 up to maybe 500 megabit speeds depending.
At the best of times,
and you know it's cellular. Think about it that way too. You know, I was working with somebody who at work that was having trouble with their internet because they couldn't connect to VPN for work. So. And, you know, a lot of times they may throttle, they may change things. There's so much behavior of the way the cell towers work. That's where your problem is. But back to neutrality, that's where the problem is, where they're making more preferential treatments. A lot of these other companies with internet, why can't we just all play happy together? I think it's just crazy. I think it's
because they all want exclusive rights to everything, and it's part of the reason why they fought so hard against cutting the cable. You know, because they were making before I cut the cable, I was spending on internet and TV services over $250 a month.
Yep.
And because I have so many different services now, it's not that much. But close. it's not that far away either.
No. And I'm all up. You know you're going to do it.
I'm the one making the choices. I'm not getting hundreds of channels that I just don't care about. You know, do I need the Spanish language game show network? No, I really, really don't. So, you know, I get to choose the services and the channels that I'm going to have.
Well, now the cable providers are going to be forced to have their quote unquote nutritional facts, have that little label on their site to tell you exactly what you're paying for. You're breaking down specifically, it's fresh in my mind, the article I just read this morning, Comcast, almost $45 of that is all your local channels and all the fees that they charge because that's what they have to pay for. And you got some other services like YouTube TV. It's only, it's $72, and that includes all of the channels that you need. So they broke it down to all the different fees.
I'm using Hulu. Yeah,
and then Hulu's pretty much right.
Very
same way. And you're just looking at the pricing, but the breakdown is no wonder why everybody's leaving Comcast.
And the part that really makes me crazy, and I don't want to spend a lot more time on this. The fact that all of these services used to be, when it was over the air, it used to all be ad-based. Why are we spending so much more money to be giving to all of these small channels and then still getting ads? Do one or the other. Either give me ads and give me a low price, or no ads and some other price. But most of the time, we're not getting those options. It's just okay, ads, and you're going to pay a particular price for our exclusive content. And that's just BS. I don't like that at all.
No, I agree with you. Absolutely.
Okay, we're gonna switch over, and we're gonna do something that we have never ever 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 done on the MyMac.com podcast, and that is, come on, there we go. We are going to. Oh, and why aren't you there? You should have been there. Or wait, hold on. I hit the wrong one. There we go.
There we are.
We're going to switch over. Oh, hey, Kevin Eason. Hey. I've known him since high school. we're going to switch over to the main topic, which is about Apple's event. And I've got a bit of a rant here, Dave. A bit of a rant.
I'm ready.
Okay. If M3-based iPads are to be released on May 7th, will a better multitasking operating system come with it? And as we both know, iPads aren't updated nearly as often as Macs and are blown away by the yearly upgrades on iPhones.
Yeah.
If you're wondering why, there's not much point in doing so when previously released M series and even the A series processors are hardly tasked to the breaking point with what current applications can do. I can understand releasing new models with better screens and more internal memory that helps in all kinds of ways. But if Apple really wants to start pushing iPad hardware, why not start by upgrading the pathetic amount of storage that are in the base level units?
Yeah.
Let's face it, most people are using iPads as content managers, filling them up with movies and TV shows and so on for long trips, and mostly not using them for content creation and editing. Sure, it can be done, but in most cases, there's an easier solution that lets you use more than one app at a time without having to memorize arcane finger movements. You are much more likely to conjure a demon from hell with those movements than to get any serious work done. There's also, and this is the part that you may not agree with me, there's also a silly amount of models. Oh,
there is. I agree with you.
The iPad Mini, iPad Regular as compared to decaf, iPad Air, and the iPad Pro. The Mini stands alone as a smaller unit, so that should be safe. Can we please get rid of either the regular iPad or the Air? My vote would be on the Air. It just doesn't make sense. The iPad Pro as a model could also use some trimming. The 10.9 and 12.9-inch models, you know, just sell the bigger one for the Pro and leave the size differences to the regular iPad. Reduce the models by storage as well, just a 512 and a 2-terabyte model. Either go big or go home. And don't make the price between them so big that most people won't be tempted by the 2-terabyte model. The other differential would be cellular or no cellular. I have a cellular model, as a matter of fact. So that's four models to choose from with just colors to make a difference. However, it's a Pro model. Slate gray will do nicely with a smart keyboard covering most of it anyway. You know, you get an iPad that has all these different colors, you put a smart keyboard on it, and you can't see the color anyway. So, you know, start the Pro at $999, which is $200 more than the previous, but you've already get more storage to make up for it. Next up, the regular iPad with at least 4 to 6 colors to choose from. Also make it two sizes, 10.9 or 11, and wait for it, 9-inch. This is the fun iPad, and a 9-inch screen is plenty big for content and social media. Two storage sizes, 512 megabytes and 1 terabyte. Processor? All those leftover M1 chips from 2022. Different color smart keyboards, too, for the 10.9-inch model or 11-inch model. Which would be shared with the iPad Pro 10.9 if they still make those, and a choice between just Wi-Fi and cellular. Pricing starts at $529, which again is more than before, but no more 64 and 128 gig models, please. Lastly, update the iPad Mini. Make it available in different colors with its 8.3-inch screen, storage at 256 and 512, Wi-Fi and cellular options, but keep the price at $499 as a starter. If people want a keyboard for such a small unit, let the third-party manufacturers make it. Have it either be an M1 or A-series processor. So what about the last bit, Dave? How about real multitasking in iPad OS? A dock with all open applications to easily select which one to use, separated from application shortcuts, much like the Mac OS that comes with a tap on the screen to the side, so it doesn't take up permanent screen real estate. Improve the file apps. Please improve the files app. Have a documents folder, not dependent on iCloud. If you aren't connected to the internet, that you can permanently put certain files into, then just let them, let the damn thing use internal storage. Why not?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I'll go back to the product line. I agree with you 100%. It's just all over the place. And for crying out loud, they're still selling the ninth gen iPad. That's the one with the last of the models that had the Lightning connector. I understand. And we just talked about the MacBook Air being at Walmart. Well, Walmart is selling these ninth gen iPads for $249. So you're getting a lot of people to get into the market. I was helping somebody the other day asking me about, I really need to get an iPad, but I really don't want to spend more than $200, and start looking for some used stuff. And I said, why not just pay a little extra, go with this $250 ninth gen. Dave? Yes.
I need to go check something. Go ahead.
So there was one of the other things that I was saying. Why not merge the actual models? The ninth gen, get rid of the ninth gen. Have the 10th gen, has USB-C. Give it up. And you have the Mac, the iPad Air. That's the other problem. You're right. There's confusion between the iPad Air and the iPad Pro. And yes, the iPad Air is probably the best deal, honestly. If I were to tell anybody to purchase it and pay a few extra dollars, you know, you're starting at like $599, I think it is, on the Air. The Air is going to be something that's is something that's going to be perfectly a good sweet spot for, right, to help people to get the iPads. I understand people don't want to spend that higher price of money, but you know, when you have an iPad, you have to invest in it. It's not like your Android devices, your low end Android devices, or even the Amazon devices that are low end. If that's what you want, then that's probably where you should be. I agree with Guy with the Pro models. I know some, but the thing is, I think some people like the 11 inch and some people like the 12.9 inch. So it's going to be pretty tough to distinguish off between those when it comes to those models. But yes, the 12.9, and they're even rumoring it's going to be slightly bigger, a 13 plus inch model. But again, that 13 inch or 12.9 inch is a Pro line model. This is something that designers and graphic artists using the Apple Pencil are going to be using. So it's something that we should look at. Storage has been a problem forever. I mean, it was crazy going back to the days when we had 16 gigs of RAM on an iPhone. I mean, how ridiculous is that? I mean, back, I guess, when the first gen iPhone was out, it wasn't as big of a deal. But not now. No. We got to start. I know they're starting at 128, but still 128 isn't much. Still 256, put that as a sweet spot. Just give up on the low-end stuff as far as storage. People want to be able to have to store stuff. It really is important. Processors, you're seeing Apple recycle them all the time. You got the M1 right now. It's the one I've got on the iPad, and I've kept that. I did not upgrade to the M2. And it's a perfectly fine iPad. The 11 inch is a perfectly good model to me. I do like it. I do have a 12.9 inch as a second device, and I do see that it's nice, but it's also heavy and bulky. Sometimes you want to carry around an iPad. I may not want a mini. I mean, my wife's got a mini, and it is a nice little device, but it is small. It is a small screen. But it is convenient for somebody, for traveling especially. I mean, it's nice to have a little guy like that and have that. So I agree. The keyboards, you don't need a keyboard for a mini. Come on. Honestly, I mean, you can just easily use it the way it is, and that's the end of it. The other equipment, you know, Apple's going to be coming out with a new Magic Keyboard with their new models. They're perfectly okay. They're okay and all, but third party manufacturers are coming up with a lot of great ideas with these things too. I think the processors are going to continue on to be recycled. You're going to still see the A series and the M series. I think we're going to start slightly, slowly going away from that A series. I think we're going to be locked into M series for the iPads for a while. As far as multitasking and iPad OS, yes, I agree. Multitasking is very challenging it really is. I even have a challenge trying to toggle between different apps, and they say you've got this great multifunction mode and be able to move the apps. It's not easy. So I'm seeing iOS, iPadOS, iOS 18 is going to be quite a game changer, especially with AI. We didn't even talk about AI. AI is going to be brought into this too.
There's a reason why I haven't talked about AI. Number one, we don't know
exactly
what that means as far as the operating system goes. But I think the biggest reason, without having a serious clue from Apple as to what, you know, what direction they're going to go in AI, that it's really, really hard to take a guess onto what exactly that means. Right. And as far as screen sizes go, all right, 12.9, 11, 9, 8.3. Get rid of the 10.9. You know, have the smart keyboard work with all iPads that are 12.9 or 11 inch. Yep. And then you're good. You only have to have those two models. And if you think back, I don't know when you started with the Mac OS, but I remember the 90s when, before Steve Jobs came back, where we had Centris, we had Performa, we had Quadra lines, and the real big difference between them wasn't the hardware. It was the software bundle that came with them. And it was ridiculous trying to keep up with computers that were exactly the same, just had different names, or were going from one generation apparently to the next generation, where the only big difference was the amount of software or the kind of software that it had on it. Right. And, you know, don't fall into that trap. Reduce. And when you think about this as well, every single quarter, that, you know, Apple doesn't release numbers anymore on the hardware that they sell. But, you know, just based on revenue, that they're selling less and less iPads year over year for each quarter. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact, number one, people are very happy with the iPads that they already have because they last so freaking long. And number two is market confusion with all of the different models, all of the different names, all the different options that you can choose from for these models with a widely varying price point for all of them. Reduce the confusion, and you'll probably get a lot more people to upgrade to a newer iPad. Not to the point where it's like iPhone upgrades, because there's a lot of people, Dave Ginsburg, that update their phone every single year. yes. But people are generally hanging on to iPads for years at a time, just like with their Macs.
They are. And I know that. I mean, I was, like I said, I was talking, helping somebody, and I had an older iPad that I potentially was going to sell to her. And I started thinking about it, especially when she started talking about, you know, for her child and downloading apps. And it's running iOS, I think, iPad OS 15, which is, you know, it's a little getting long in the tooth here. And I said to her, you know, there's no guarantee that another year or whatever app that you're using, the developer is going to stop supporting that version of the OS. So it just makes total sense. I mean, when you get to that level, my rule of thumb generally is going to be if it's a device that's end of life on the operating system within a year after that, then you want to start thinking about doing an upgrade for the iPad specifically, because after time, it's going to get worse and worse. I mean, you can hold out probably 2 years,
even after its end of life, you could probably hold out for another 2 years.
Yeah, you could hold out to it. It's still a great device for internet browsing and all that. Just don't expect, if you have one of your favorite apps that you like to use, the developer may decide, you know, it's not supported anymore. They'll continue to offer the older version, but they may pull the old version and be done with it because they have to continue to develop for that particular version to keep it up to date, because Apple doesn't allow for developers to have apps with multiple operating systems. It's going to get to that point.
It has to be whatever, either the latest version that they've released or the latest version that works with iPad or Mac or iPhone OS.
Right. So that's just the rule of thumb as far as what looking at what your device is and how long you keep it.
Okay. Anything else before we move on?
I think we hit this out of the park with this. It was a great
discussion. Yeah, I know. It was certainly a lot longer than I thought it was going to be. All right, well, if you're ready and I'm ready and I'm nodding my head, we're going to switch over and do a Gaz's tip.
Hit it. Gaz's tips.
Mostly.
Gaz's tips.
Mostly.
Gaz's tips.
It's time for
Gaz's tip.
And I guess I'm Gaz. Oh, wait, I'm Dave.
Yeah, I'm Dave. David's tip.
Yes, I'm honored to be filling in for Gaz here to give a tip for this week. I don't know if anybody's familiar. I think most listeners are familiar with the software program called iMazing, one of the most spectacular iPhone and iPad management piece of software out there. And they've had version 2 for a long time. And basically what it is, it gives you abilities being able to back up, control, and do some advanced device management. The most incredible thing, the thing this thing does is, if you want to be able to back up all your messages on your own, you can go and do it individually. It's such a pain when it comes to iCloud, where you have to go out and try to find where everything is. If you have a specific message, in the legal area, that's probably the biggest thing that people look at. If you want to be able to download a message, it's not that easy when it comes to using Apple's tools. Well, this gives you the options to be able to do that. Simple backup snapshots. It's a great alternative as a backup of a backup. And I always recommend doing that, because if you lose your iPhone, I mean, iCloud for the most part is good for it really is important to be doing multiple backups. And I think this is a great way to do it. And it can be stored offsite. You can have it stored on an external drive. It doesn't take up all the space on your Mac, but a lot of great things that they've done with this. A number of things that they've updated in version 3 includes a device overview section, gives more details like finding the serial number, the model number, device number, data the latest backup. So you got even more granular information. That's always, I'm always looking for the device ID. I always got to go look somewhere to try to find it. Sometimes you can't find it. For battery management, there is now a battery section in iMazing that provides details on the current temperature, the design max charge, effective max charge, even gives you more and more details beyond what Apple is providing. It also works with the Vision Pro for those few of you out there that have a Vision Pro, it does have that as an ability to back it up, as well as the iPad and the iPhone. And there is support for remote pairing, so it can be wireless. It also has a dark mode feature, which they improved the backup and snapshot management. Yeah. So overall, great tool. It starts at $40 for one device. I ended up buying, I found a deal at the time. They have a family or a multiple device plan, or a family plan. It's $70 and it's per year. So it's a subscription for the family plan, but there is individual device licenses where you could just purchase one time and then it's yours and you'll get updates. So it starts at $40 for one device, brings you all the way up to five devices, around $75. Well worth the investment. I highly recommend this application. I've been using it for years, and that's my tip.
And I'm nodding my head.
Hit it. Yes. That's the end of Gaz's tips. That's most the end of Gaz's tips. That's most the end of Gaz's tips.
Okay, is that the end of the tip?
Will you let me finish? Gaz's tips. Gaz, you are absolutely right.
Okay. We are... I don't think I've... The only person that knows all of the Gaz's tips, like little after effects that happen with that, I think it's probably Carl Madden, because I think the last time I had Carl Madden on, he was doing the same, you know, all those crazy movements and gestures.
I did it too.
If for some reason you want to do a review of this show, and you've done one, you can go on over in whatever podcatcher that you use, do a review, let me know about it. And I don't check them, so you have to let me know that you've done one. And if it's the first time that you've done one, you will get something wonderful. And that is called a Woo Tea. And have you received a Woo Tea, Dave?
It's a long time ago. I can't remember. It's been a while.
And how did it change your life?
It did. It was just
amazing.
Breathtaking. Amazing.
It was, it's like your life before the Woody and your life after the Woody. And if you don't know what a Woody is, I'm going to tell you right now, it is a big W, big O, big O, big T, little I, little E, exclamation mark. That's a Woody. Yeah. And we have some feedback. We have two feedbacks, audio feedbacks this week, both from a now regular to the show. Yeah, it's Mr. Cheesed Off. Have you heard this? Have you been listening to the show lately?
I haven't heard this one. No, this will be new for me.
Okay, well, you're in for a treat. This is Mr. Cheesed Off.
Mr. Cheesed Off here. Right, listen up, you pack of daydreaming dawdlers. Last week, I sent you a message, a masterpiece of modern moaning. And what do? You bunglers played the week before's last moan. I know I guy did. Would forget his own head if it wasn't screwing. Wait, it's not. It's just a loosely tethered with nonsense. What is the blooming point of asking for messages if you're just going to jumble them up like socks in a tumble dryer? I might as well write to my MP for all the good that'll do. At least they make ignoring for you an art form. And Guyan, mate, stop fiddling with your Forrester microphones and that daft video hobby horse. Like, share, subscribe, how about listen, play correctly, apologise. Maybe then you'd remember what week it is. The way you run things make the Bermuda Triangle look like a well-organised filing system. It makes my blood boil, it really does. Also steaming like a cook a Sunday roast on my forehead. I'm so cheesed off.
So, that's Mr. Cheesed Off. And he has another one here. He has one more here. Here it is.
Hey, Guy, yeah. So I heard the App Store's first retro emulator was here. But what's this? It's less of a game machine, more of a bloody ad dispenser. I downloaded it for a trip down memory lane. Instead, I'm on a bloody detour through Edville. Every 2 seconds, bam, another ad. I mean, who designed this thing? That bloke called Madman. And it's a lock-off to boot. So not only am I failing to dodge eggs like bullets from a snarky prepubescent Red Bull Field ankle bio on Fortnite, but it's all for a second-rate experience. They promised nostalgia. All I got was aggravation. I tell you, it's enough to make you miss blowing on your flipping cartridges. It really cheeses me off.
So he has an opinion.
Apparently.
About those things. Yes, he does. Thank you, Mr. Cheesed Off. We really appreciate the feedback, even when you give me a ration of crap. That's so richly deserved because I sometimes forget things. I'm willing to bet that Mr. Cheesed Off isn't going to do it. But if you would like to help contribute to pay for all of the various services that I'm paying for to keep this show going, you can go on over to Patreon, patreon.com/MacPettit. Excuse me. You can go on over to Ko-fi, ko-fi.com/MacParrot, or you can pay a pal at paypal.me/MacParrot. Now, Dave.
Yes.
If someone wanted to get a hold of you and say, what the hell were you thinking when you agreed to come on this show? How would they do that?
They would do that by going to In Touch with iOS at intouchwithios.com. My YouTube channel is youtube.com/intouchwithios. And you find me appearing in other places like Mac Voices Live with Chuck Joyner, as well as the Mac Show on the British Tech Network. And on social media, good place to go is DaveG65 and Mastodon.cloud. Thanks for having me, Guy.
Chuck.
I almost slipped.
Oh, bite your tongue.
Because I've been on Max Forces Live.
You better hope Chuck Guy doesn't hear this show. You better hope he doesn't hear this show. If you want to get a hold of me, you can do so very easily by going to the email client. Wow, Mr. Cheese Off will have something to say about that. Email client of your choice and sending that to Guy. mymac.com. You can find me on almost all of the socials, or a bunch of them anyway. Counter Social, Mastodon, X, Twitter, what's the new one? Threads, that's associated with Pinterest
Instagram,
right. I am Mac Parrot on almost all of those. You can also find me over on the X's as Vert Shark. Now, if you'd like to see all of the vids, you can go on over and then like, share, subscribe, do whatever you want to do over there on YouTube, the Vert Shark channel. You'll get not only the video version of this show, you lucky people, you'll also get the video version of Guy's Daily Drive that I've been trying to do on Mondays and Thursdays, where I record myself saying stuff on my way to work, because that's a thing. That's a thing now. If you want to get a hold of Gaz, that would be Gaz, G-A-Z, at mymac.com is the email address. And you can find him as Gazmaz, G-A-Z-M-A-Z, at almost all of the various social media networks. And there's one other way that you can contact us. You can contact Fearless Leader Tim at feedback@mymac.com and let him know that for about the last 15 years, he's made a terrible, terrible mistake. By letting Gaz and I have this program. And we have a Google Voice number that apparently Mr. Cheesed Off knows, as well as some other people out and about in the world. And that is the Google Voice number 703-828-4677. That number one more time, 703-828-4677. And remember, if you're dialing that outside of the U.S. to add country code 1, then the number, and you might actually incur charges if you dial it directly. I think that's going to do it for this week, Dave.
Okay.
And so I would like to tell all of the people out there, thank you. Thank you so very, very much. I am humbled by your continued support here at the MyMac.com podcast. And Dave, I think we're good enough. I do. Yeah. And I think we were smart enough this week. Well, you were, because I had to leave the room for a minute. And that doggone us, Wilf, Wolf, 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 that amazing pup that sometimes comes into the room and screws up the video. People like us. Oh, I forgot to set up a dad joke. Oh, well, no dad joke this week. That'll have to be Gaz when he returns. So, Dave, thank you so very, very much for coming on this week. I really, really do appreciate it. And can you think of anything else?
Time to go.
It is. It's time to go. So thank you all again for joining us here today on the MyMac.com podcast. And we will see all of you hopefully next week right here on the MyMac.com podcast. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
So you can all go home and there's nothing to worry about. Get out of here now. Go on. Go on home and go home.